Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the April 12 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, and Sherman Newland from Risk Management Commodities out of Hudsonville, Illinois. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. We post all of our agricultural programming there not long after it airs on our radio stations.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
Kurt Kimmel, let's begin with you this afternoon. What's on your list of things that we should discuss for the week?
Well, probably top one that's probably got a lot of different angles you can go as the crop report. Then secondly, just a lot of questions or a lot of, you know, talk about why beans so strong over the last couple of weeks.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
I think it's going to be how soon we get in the field and how aggressive farmers are on continuing to plant the 93 million acres of corn.
And Sherman Newland.
Yeah, I think, you know, part of what Kurt said, I mean, what's pushing this bean market and will it end up helping the corn market eventually? And, you know, what are we going to do as we, you know, with these prices as producers?
Well, let's start with it there. And Kurt Kimmel, why do we think soybeans have been so strong for the last, really, 4 weeks?
Well, it's the year that ends in six. Donald Trump's going to make agriculture great again. And we're going to have a freeze on May 20th, so there's several news items out there. But I think Ellen Dearden hit the nail on the head, clear back to Beef House, and all spring long that maybe some of these beans have been moved and that end users are going to have to bid up. And Asia might be a little concerned about, you know, securing supplies. And the USDA report did show that exports are going to remain strong and bump those up a little bit. But a lot of that market action, I think, is spread activity, hedge fund activity, between the corn and beans. The price ratio was narrow. Seasonally, beans kind of gain ground in through here. The corn-bean ratio, the spread between corn and beans kind of broke out through here. So there's been a lot of enthusiasm to have some ownership of beans and sell corn, have some ownership of beans, sell wheat. But we're getting to levels now for a producer that if you turn back the clock 30, 40 days ago, we were given anything to get here. And it's probably time to do some good old-fashioned marketing at these levels.
Sherman Newland, you wanted to talk about the strength in the soybeans. Do you have any additions to this? And what are your thoughts on marketing?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's several different reasons. I mean, like Kurt was saying, why beans have been rallying. I mean, funds have turned around and got long the bean market now for several weeks, and, you know, part of it's begin because of what's going on in South America, whether it's the real or what they're doing with their government. And, I mean, they're talking about impeaching their president here now more than anything. A lot of it's been predicated on the bean oil market and the palm oil market going higher. So once that spread, you know, they've been buying bean oil, selling the meal. So if they want to start unwinding that spread at some point, you know, buying more meal, that could help push these prices higher, and part of it has been pushed up, we think, by the crude oil market. It's made new highs for the year for 2016, and that happened towards the end of the day today. But either way, I mean, if you look at the bean market, I mean, we've rallied right at 81 cents since the low to the high today anyway, and typically if you go back in time and look at some of the weekly charts, I mean, 80 cents to $1.11 is about as much as we can get out of the bean market at one time without some sort of pullback. So, I mean, we could push the beans on up another target area to that 980 on November beans, 985 area. But I think somewhere in here, guys really need to take a hard look at trying to get some hedging done, whether it's some cash sales, forward cash sales, or doing something with some put options and maybe letting go of some old beans if they still have them. So that's what we've been doing. So I think it's prudent for guys to, you know, up and through here, you're going to be at some profitable levels. So I think taking advantage of this right now, it would be a good thing to be doing.
You think really we can get that far?
Well, technically, I mean, that was the high we had back in June of last year, 985, and we've crossed the 200 days, crossed the 50-day moving average, so we've broken out of this sideways channel. I don't know, you know, between here and there, I think, you know, we need to take a look at it. Can it be done? Yeah, it can be done if the crude oil market and some of the outside markets want to continue to push it. But this is 7 weeks up, and it's typically between 7 weeks and 9 weeks up. That's about all you can muster out of a market until we have some sort of pullback. So I'm not counting on it, but if it gets there, I think a guy needs to take advantage of it. But I think going ahead and doing something now would be worthwhile.
Wayne Nelson, on the new crop, you suggested that once they get into the field, the corn planters will roll. Does that mean that you're with Sherm that there's a possibility on soybeans that we have more upside potential just because of fewer acres?
Well, I think the high-frequency traders and the funds have been aggressive this way. The bean rally started because of the palm oil. It brought in some real strength when there wasn't strength in anything else. They bought it. The technicals continued to stay positive, and they punched through areas. And every time they punch through, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. They do more. We're seeing some more investor money come back in. They're seeing the dollars flattened out, and we're seeing some of the money from the dollar come over into the commodities and maybe beans because they've been the choices of late. And basically, just what Sherman said, the next shot is maybe in the top looking for this move could be in the 80s if we break through the 55 here now later this week. So, you know, all of that is it's projected there. We started today and starting to buy some puts and sell some calls. And we're doing more of a buy a put, sell a call, sell a put a dollar below it to pay for it and try to get where we lock in at least above $9 cash beans. So we're thinking it's a place to do some marketing here. I remember back to Beef House, we said if you can get to 920 to 950, you better be doing something. And by gosh, tonight the last trade of the day was, 949 and a half. So that's awful close in the area. If we're going to back up what we said then, why we have to start doing a little bit.
So today is Tuesday, just as a reminder, on our record day. That would be the day the United States Department of Agriculture released the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates report for the month of April. It still shows 445 million bushels as the carryout. Kurt Kimmel, this is down 15 million from the previous month. However, that carryout will roll into the new crop year, or the one we're putting in the ground at the moment. This is just a big carryout, and when you start to add whatever the United States puts in the ground and harvest, it comes out with a big carryout at the end of next year as well. We won't see those numbers until May, but when you project them forward, they've got to be large.
Yeah, it's an obstacle we're going to have to overcome as we move down the road. These numbers can fluctuate somewhat. We got still to figure out actual planted and actual harvested acres, and we're going to put yield on it. Then we're going to, fine-tune demand. But, in order to get real bullish beans, we need to take this carry out, back down in this 150, 250 million bushel area here in the U.S. But, worldwide, we're seeing a situation. We got ample world ending stocks. They're still using some fairly good numbers for Brazil and Argentina. There is a little speculation those numbers could come down 1, 2, 3 million metric tons, but that's still ample supplies of beans around. The thing we've got to remember, though, is a lot of us lived through the early 80s, and we had over 4 billion bushels of corn inventory on hand, lots of CCC stocks on hand. Fundamentally, it's going to be physically impossible for the grain market to go higher out of those depressed lows in the early 80s. But by George, the market said, give me what you got, we're going higher, and the drought kicked in and off we went. So it's kind of, one of those obstacles that, there's some things that could happen to really pop this market up, but, it's going to have to be weather-driven. It's going to have to be a weather problem. Not only here in the U.S., but other parts of the world, too.
While soybeans are on the move, Kurt, According to the ending stocks, we're at 445 million for soybeans, remember, and that's well above what we have been for several years. However, the corn number at 1.862 billion, and despite the fact that it's up 25 million bushels this month, is not that large a number, relatively speaking, to the 445 million in comparison to what we have been carrying out. Is corn the place where the weather market could really push?
Well, it's going to be kind of two different crop situations. There's still ample supplies, old crop, a lot of old crop still needs to move. You know, there's a lot of concern about China even exporting corn to the world market. But when you project on out 1.8 or whatever into the new crop supply demand balance sheet, our idea is that, you know, this 93 might not be achieved. You can shave a few planted acres off. Then if you come in and have some weather issues and start taking 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 bushels off the yield and keep demand consistent, then all of a sudden you can tighten that supply-demand balance sheet up in a hurry in through here. So that's going to be the market maker here as we go through the growing season. And that's why we're seeing an increase in volatility. We talked quite a bit this last winter. The market's kind of dead, flat, volatility's low. I think traders are getting a little anxious because overall volatility readings are starting to pick up. So maybe we've got something in the works here.
What do you think it is that might be in the works, Sherman?
I think it's just a lot of different things. I mean, a lot of it is some outside markets. I mean, like I said, I still go back to the crude oil market, not knowing what it's going to do. I mean, they're going to have the OPEC meeting this coming weekend. I mean, there's some smart guys out there saying by the end of the year, you know, crude could be at $80. I have no idea whether we're going there or not, but if something like that would happen, I mean, that's definitely going to be pulling the commodity markets higher. And so that could be part of it, you know, with everything. There was some stories out this morning that the Safrina corn crop was a lot smaller than what they projected today on the report. So there's some things out there that, you know, could get the market going. And the fact is, there's a lot of shorts in this corn market. If they would want to continue to cover or have a reason to cover, I think that could propel us up to this $4, $4.10, $4.20 area. And I think guys need to be taking a look at that then, doing some hedging, doing some, you know, some buying some put options or something in through there.
Politically, Wayne Nelson, they're having problems in Brazil. How much will that play into the marketplace, and how much has it played into the marketplace?
Well, it was the reason that was given the end of the week last week and beginning of the week this week, that they were, you know, the impeachment process was putting a little bit more confidence back in the exchange rate, and the real was coming in narrower, and that a lot of the farmers down there were using that as a pricing because they were buying their inputs on that. They priced some of their seed and done some stuff that way along the way. So I think that's one thing it's going to do. I'm not sure how long it will stay strong. They've still got an awful lot of problems down there. I don't know if the vice president's going to be able to rectify those because he's just about as corrupt as the president as far as what we read in the newspapers anyhow. So it's going to be, but it is a little bit of strengthening that way. I think that if they tighten up, whether they are sellers down in South America to come in, we might help us in our export market for, you know, maybe 1, 2 to 3 weeks. It might help us get some more exports out.
Was everybody surprised Monday by the crop progress report that showed 4% of the corn had been planted? I think the trade was looking for 2%. And we're off to, according to the rolling five-year average, just as good a start as we normally might have been. Although, I have to admit, and maybe, Sherm, you got a better idea about this because you're just located a little further south, the Missouri farmers really rolled. I think that may be an indication that they're dry in that area.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I wasn't really surprised by the numbers just because what you just said, because the guys in Missouri have really been putting it in the ground, and, you know, I think their area has been abnormally dry. Now, I believe the forecast is they're supposed to be getting some rain, so that may slow down here in the coming week, but you know, I think the other guys in the Delta have made up some time and got some stuff in the ground, but going ahead, I mean, with the weather outlook that we're having for us here in the Midwest, it looks like in the next 10 days to 2 weeks that planters will be rolling more and more. So I think planting progress will probably come along at a pretty good pace the way things are looking. And, you know, with that said, that, you know, means maybe we'll get some of those corn acres, more of those acres in, and maybe not get all the bean acres, you know, that guys are talking about switching to. But if you get an early bean planting, I mean, early corn planting, that's going to lead right into an early bean planting possibly, which will be good for yields.
What is the condition of your soils at this point?
Oh, pretty saturated here at the moment. We got 2 inches of rain here this past go round, but I mean, once it ever does dry out, guys will be able to roll pretty good because we had a lot of fall tillage done last fall. I mean, the ground profile is in good shape. We did a lot of deep tillage. I mean, we don't have a dry area. I mean, so we've got built up on subsoil moisture. So if we can get in the ground, you know, get planting here at the last 2 weeks of April, I mean, we're giving the opportunity to at least to start off with a good corn crop.
Wayne, have you heard anything about condition of soil? What I've heard so far is that most farmers are really happy with how their soils overwintered, though I haven't heard concerns yet about insects and insect pests just because of the mild winter, but that may still yet to be come.
I think that there, you know, there will probably be some insect problems this year just because of it. But other than that, no, we were running a little deficit on moisture for a while, but I think we outdid Sherman and probably got 2.5 to 2.75 inches here over the last 3 or 4 days, and basically we've got ponds where we haven't seen ponds for quite a while again now, so we're going to be at least Friday, Saturday before we do much field work here.
And how about in your area, Kurt?
Boy, we're just right. It's amazing. Most moisture stayed south of us, so, you know, we're looking at Thursday. You know, it's just excellent condition. Guys are geared up, ready to go, and it's amazing now how much headways, you know, we can make in just a week. I mean, you're going to see these planting progress reports jump tremendously here as long as the weather cooperates.
From each of you, because the producers will be in the field for at least a month, maybe a bit longer than that, sometime starting in the next 2 weeks. What do they need to have in place before they go? And we'll do both old and new crop. And Kurt, I think I want to start with you.
Well, each individual is different. We hear different situations all the time, but I think from a marketing point of view, you got to use these spring rallies to get kind of caught up on cash sales. But the most simplest thing you can do in through here is put a price floor in the marketplace. That way, if we get the crop in, weather cooperates, you've got downside protection. If the market wants to work higher, you can still have that cash grain to sell at some higher levels. There's a lot of creative strategies out there, but with the cash flow needs being real tight and profitability being question mark, I think this is the year to have some type of price floor and see what happens.
Wayne Nelson?
Yeah, I agree with Kurt. I think the price floor is a better idea, especially in the corn, or the corn now, maybe in the beans, if we see we can push a little bit. You know, we've been doing, like you say, some three-way options, trying to do that, giving us a dollar up or a dollar down in what we're looking at. I think that as we get just a little higher here, a few sale, if we can hold and make that little run on the beans, I think maybe some cash sales are not going to be bad either, as to go on and see what's going on. The corn, we're down at the levels where it's awfully hard to get too aggressive on getting too much done here, but if we could have some mortars resting above the market, I think if they go to the field, they'd be well served, as that those could get filled while they're driving around the field.
And Sherman Nolan.
Yeah, I agree with both of what those guys are saying. I mean, old crop beans in through here, I think if you're still holding them, you need to be taking a hard look at letting them go anywhere between here and 20, 30 more cents higher. New crop beans, I'm okay with doing some cash contracting on some to get started, you know, 10%. Basis is pretty good if you look out in certain areas. I don't have a problem with doing that. And then, you know, if we could do some more, we bought some new crop bean puts. We bought some 940 bean puts, you know, yesterday and today, and put a floor under it to leave your upside put, you know, with paper to leave your upside potential to sell at a higher price for cash. Corn, it's hard to get too excited here, you know, cash wise, because the basis is still pretty wide. You got a 30-cent basis for fall and a 20-cent basis for Jan. If we could get to 390 for new crop corn, I think that'd be a place to do something on paper with some bought puts or maybe a little bit of light cash hedging. And in old crop, same way, if you could get up into that 380 area, 375, 380, you probably need to be letting most of that go, I would say, at that point in time. Have some orders in above the market, like Wayne said.
Hey, Sherman, are you having a tougher time this year with producers than normal because of the El Nino and all of the talk with the meteorologist, including the agricultural weather meteorologist, that there will be at least at a minimum a hot summer, if not a hot and dry summer at some point?
Yeah, I mean, we do have guys, you know, that are definitely listening to all those weather reports, and they're holding off and saying, well, you know, this could be the year we're going to have a problem. But also, you know, money flow. I mean, you know, it's been tough on some guys here in the past, and they're wanting to, you know, they're wanting to watch how they're doing things. So they're trying to get every dollar out of the market that they can. And I don't know if that's, you know, necessarily the right thing to be doing. If you can, I think you need to protect yourself this coming year, because on the flip side of everything, I mean, that's what worries me, is what you said. They're seeing these weather forecasts, and, oh, we're going to have a lot higher prices. Well, what happens if that doesn't happen? I mean, what if we don't have that hot, dry weather, and we get, you know, 92, 93 million acres? I mean, there's some bears out there saying 270 corn. So I guess that kind of worries me more than the upside.
Yeah, Ag Resource out of Chicago is one of those bears. They've been saying that for a while, and they have repeated it again this week, Wayne Nelson, that they're fearful that this will be a monster crop. And given the number of acres USDA surveyed from farmers in the prospective plantings report, it certainly could be a big one.
Yeah, I mean, they're talking, you know, 775, and as low as maybe 285, I think, on the corn was their numbers this week. Right? That's pretty close to what they were doing and saying they could get to. So it is very worrisome that maybe when we say it isn't too great or price you're excited about, they might be a whole lot more exciting than a dollar lower from here, but along the way. So that is very good. I know that there are many, many, many of the advisors out here trying to say to pick up some pretty much out of the money calls just in case that weather happens, but go ahead and stay with your program of getting a certain percentage hedged, sold, or priced or protected somewhere along the way. So I know that, you know, Steve Fried out ADM stuck out some recommendations earlier in the week about wanting to put some of those courage calls, as we call them, the chance that you feel that you can make the sales here, because if it does take off, you can take advantage of some of that later.
Yeah, so you've got kind of a twin run looking forward, I guess, Kurt, potentially. One that says, if there's a problem, I want to be able to take advantage of it, which I suppose, do you try to get your producers to think about these as separate events, so that one would be, I'm going to market my crop based on normal growing season and what my input cost happened to be, and the other is the what-if case?
Well, everybody's different, and that's a hard one to answer, because you answer one way, there's somebody that won't pertain to it, and that's where the art of personalized marketing come in. And I know Sherm and Wayne both, you know, visit with guys one-on-one and try to map out what's right with that individual situation on that. But, yeah, we're in a situation, like we mentioned, this is a year where we're going to have to, you know, protect our income and stay flexible in marketing. And like we mentioned, you got to use some strategies in through here to protect yourself, but yet seize the opportunity if it does arise down the road here, because this fall and through here, we don't want to be sitting at some lower levels and not have some grain marketed for say, because that's the last thing you want to do is be betting on South American weather rally next winter, try to get it off not being aggressive here this spring.
Let's get our final word from each of you. I think I'll start with you, Sherm Newlin, and if you have a final word for us.
Yeah, just everything we've talked about today. I mean, get a plan in place. I mean, take advantage of some of these rallies in you know, whether it's through some cash sales or some bought puts. I think we'll have to just stay on top of it, especially in this bean market. And then if the corn market could rally, have some orders above the market, get those picked off, and then just play it, you know, week by week and see how things go.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
I think that you have to decide what level that you might want to be sold going into the growing season, and then look seriously at taking advantage of these rallies. You know, I think that we're going to have some chances this summer to add a little more with some possibly warm weather, because a high percentage of the forecasters are saying we'll probably see some. That doesn't mean a drought, and that doesn't mean we're going to have problems bad enough to keep them high all year. So we want to be ready to take advantage of this rally and then maybe the next one to come.
And Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities.
Yeah, there's a lot of what ifs out there, and a lot of those what ifs could happen. And I think to sum it up, just continue to stay flexible and take advantage of the situation. And above all, be safe out there, because it's going to get real busy here in the next few weeks.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, joined on this April 12 edition of Commodity Week by Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, and Sherman Newlin from Risk Management Commodities in Hudsonville, Illinois.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find us online and listen anytime you'd like on demand at WILLAG.org. We've updated our on-air schedule, so you can check that online as well and listen online live right there at WILLAG.org. We start each and every business day at 8:50 a.m. with five voices throughout the week, followed up with five different voices at 10:58 a.m. Sue Martin is there, of course, at 12:58. And then the closing market report at 6 after the hour of 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and another five voices. We have more analysts than you can manage to listen to in any given week, but it's all for your perspective on the marketplace. You can find us again online at WILLAG.org. Listen to us live on air at WILLAG.org or on our home radio station at AM 580. That's willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason, host of the agricultural programming here on WILL. As we approach the planting season, I hope you'll consider what a resource our ag programming and online content is. And we have an extra incentive for you to make a gift today. During our Spring Forward campaign, if we reach $90,000 before April 26th, there will be no long pledge interruptions. Your support, it's essential to help us reach the goal, so go to willpledge.org to make your gift today. Thank you.